Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. I had to swallow that mouthful of meat stick before I could start talking. If you're just tuning in, you are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. And Barbecue Bob is on vacation again. Surprise, surprise, right? He's on spring break. So I'm very fortunate to have the master of meat, the butcher extraordinaire, Tim Sobey, sitting in and co-hosting with me. And at this point in time, I'm going to continue eating these meat sticks. And Tim, I want you to talk about a little bit of this. Looking in your meat case, you've got choice, prime, and select cuts of beef. What's the difference?
It's all in the grading. And first, I just want to say thanks for swallowing my meat today.
Yeah.
You can't say that.
Right, yeah. And more so, I can't say, but you're welcome.
Yeah. So it's when they grade the cattle, and they have like a little grid mark that they'll put over. There should be X amount of marbling within, you know, per square inch kind of a thing. So they'll grade them out. Prime is the highest. And right now, fortunately, the cattle are finishing out so good that there is actually like a shortage of select product on the market, which is really, really pretty cool because the other farmers are doing their finishing out, getting them to market at a younger age, but higher marbling quality to them. So the prime, and we use Chairman Reserve as our box beef, which is the top 20%, the highest choice into prime. So as they're filling those orders, boxing them up, they'll box up X amount of prime. They'll get into that highest choice, and if they need 1,000 cases of prime and they fill that, some of that prime might spill down into the choice category.
Oh, really?
Which is what we'll get with Chairman Reserve. Then there's five levels of choice, five being highest down to a one, and then below that will be select or no roll.
Okay.
So a couple things might kick it out of the choice market. It might be their lack of marbling, so it's going to go select. Or if it's an older cattle and they use a tooth, their cattle will grow a third tooth on the bottom, and that's the gauge that they use, which is unfair to the farmers because just like with humans, you could get wisdom teeth at 17 or at 47. So there's no certain time when they'll get that, but that's the gauge that the USDA uses.
Huh.
Then they'll take, if that animal gets that third tooth, they automatically disqualify him from being choice into that select category.
So a butcher shop such as yours or others versus a big box store, the big box stores are doing volume. Do we most of the time see select in there or do we see the choice? Because you don't see a lot of prime in the discount clubs and the larger grocery stores.
Yeah. If meat is going to be actually graded choice, and that's most of what we sell is the choice, a market is going to sell it that way as choice product.
Okay.
Big box stores, you'll see words like USDA certified. There isn't a cut of meat that can't be sold unless it's USDA inspected.
I see.
So if it says USDA certified or USDA inspected, more than likely that will not be choice product.
Okay.
If it was going to be choice, they would advertise it that way. So it's going to be something less like a select or a utility or a no roll.
Okay. And the prime is a small portion of the cattle. And again, that's a younger cow and it's a more marbled piece. Now, where do the old dairy cows go? I mean, are they made into something else? I mean, they're not. There's beef cattle and there's dairy cattle, right?
Correct.
There's a distinct difference between the two.
Yeah, because those dairy cows aren't going to have the quality. They're an older cattle. Those are what are going to go for grinding meats.
Okay.
So they'll take trimmings from whatever animals were cut up that day. Could be anything from prime down to select. Well, they need lean meats to lean that trimming back up anyway. They'll use those the dairy cows, so to speak.
Okay.
Or ones that don't have marbling to them, poor quality. Maybe they were bruised or whatever that was.
Sure. So then one last thing is what is your opinion on the use of antibiotics and things with the animals versus the organic meats?
Yeah, organic, I'm not a huge proponent of organic. One of the reasons is there aren't enough organic police out there to make sure the farm is doing what it needs to. For an example, there's a guy with a red pickup truck will go to some of our local produce farmers, buy the same produce we're getting. He'll go down to the farmer's market and put, I'm just going to use me, Tim's Organic Farm. The guy doesn't even have a farm. The produce he's buying is not organically raised, and he's selling it that way. And to me, that's a slap to the face for farmers that are actually doing that.
Sure.
So organic, to me, it's overpriced anyways. I don't think there's that much value to it.
Okay.
My opinion.
Right, right. Okay. So let's get on the fun side of this then. So if I wanted to, if I've got the boss coming over and I'm up for the promotion and I want to impress him, and I'm going to grill a steak, okay, does it make a difference for me to go from select to choice to prime? I think I want to leave select behind.
Yeah, absolutely.
But choice versus prime, will the average guy know the difference?
If you had two pieces next to each other and did a taste test, you might say, boy, I can taste that one. You know, like a prime, for example, is going to have a lot more marbling. It'll be a richer taste to it, but they might not appreciate the prime. If you get a really good choice, you're still going to be dancing.
Because, again, you said there's 1 through 5
on the choice
in there. And, again, is that all of this seems to revolve around the marbling.
Correct.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, so as you said, you could get a little bleed off from the prime into the number one choice if there was the supply was such, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
And we've had some prime before, and again, you know, I'd probably shoot myself in the foot for saying this, but at times I don't know if prime gains you that much more than like a 4 or 5 choice cattle does.
And you know, you break down sides of beef there in the market.
Yep.
I know you do, so you see it all. Are there parts of a side of beef that are prime and then go to choice, or is the whole animal designated prime?
The whole animal.
Okay.
So that whole animal is designated if it's a choice 1 through 5 or prime or select. It's the whole animal.
I see. Okay. So asking the butcher, what's your favorite cut of beef on the grill? Gas or charcoal, don't care which fuel you use, but if Tim's going to sit down and throw down a steak dinner, what cut are you going to put on there?
I'll do one of two. I'll either do, and it's going to be thick, number one.
Okay.
But I'll either do, I love my bone-in sirloins, which you have to get those off the local beef. Otherwise, that's something that's going to come off like a boneless sirloin. But a bone-in sirloin or a ribeye are my two faves.
Okay, and why?
Fat is flavor.
Right.
So that's what you'll gain on the ribeye. And we were up at our cabin getting a project done up there, and the framers were up there, and I treated them to tomahawk steaks.
Oh, my.
So we went into some red meat comas that night.
Yeah.
But the other one that I find with the long bone sirloin is sirloin has a distinctive flavor. It tastes different than other cuts of meat, but it's lean, it's tender, it's flavorful. And there's a fillet on there if you like fillet.
Right, and it's not necessarily the most expensive piece of meat in your case.
Best value, in my opinion, of any steak, yeah.
Right. Now you get a bone-in ribeye. Those are going to be on the top end of the price category, but they're worth it.
Yep.
And the tomahawk that you mentioned has that almost that full rib bone left on that, right?
Right. And because we break them ourselves, we'll leave that bone really radically long. I mean, make it look like a Fred Flintstone.
Yeah.
And so we can get probably every bit of a 12, maybe to 15-inch bone on that. French the bone down so you just have that ribeye at the top, and it looks like a big tomahawk.
Yeah.
But we do a true one. We'll cut between each bone, so there's only 7 tomahawks, and they were about 3 inches thick is what we brought up and did on the grill.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Those sound – now you got my mouth watering just thinking about that. But so real quickly, because we're almost at the end here, when you're cooking a 3-inch thick steak, any tips, just real quick tips so it doesn't get overdone but it gets done?
I'm a flipper, you know, keep flipping back and forth. The other thing, get yourself, invest in a good meat thermometer. I have digital thermometers. I live and die by them. You get the internal temp you want. You can't screw it up.
Right.
You either got to burn it or drive over it with a truck. You can't mess it up.
That's right. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Barbecue Bob. We're going to go down to the Dutch Riviera. That's Gulf Shores, Alabama, and dial him up and see what he's been eating down there. I'm pretty sure it's going to be some seafood. You listen to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.